You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the Wolverine Confidential Podcast. I am Andrew Kahn.
I'm Ryan Zook.
And I'm Aaron McMahon.
On this episode, we talk about the Michigan baseball team's dramatic run through the Big Ten tournament and into the NCAA tournament, plus some quick updates on basketball and hockey coming up on Wolverine Confidential. All right, guys, we talk here Tuesday, May 31st in the morning. We're going to start with the Michigan baseball team, which just won the Big Ten tournament. And Zook, want to ask you about it, but I try not to get too riled up here. All right. You
know, I'll save it for later.
I want your energy. All right. But I don't want you to get too riled up about this. But I'll set the scene here. Five games over 4 days. Michigan went 4-1 with a championship victory over Rutgers on Sunday evening to clinch an automatic berth into the NCAA tournament, which was the only way they were getting in. Tell us about this run through the tournament and we can get into some specifics.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty remarkable considering how poorly they had played at times this season. And they won it by knocking off the top four seeds in the Big Ten, including number one seed Maryland. They beat Rutgers, who was the number two seed in the finals, 10-4. And they had just played a couple weeks ago to close the regular season, and Michigan won two of the three. But Rutgers scored a ton of runs against them. And really, pitching has been the Achilles heel of this team all season. Really came through. Their top guys came through during the tournament. Chase Allen pitched 8 innings and only allowed 2 runs. One of them was earned. Jacob Denner, he began the year as the team's number two starter, but he struggled in 2022 and allowed 3 runs without recording an out on Saturday night in a loss to Iowa. And then he comes back versus Rutgers and is just sensational. 4 1/3, 1 run allowed, and 7 Ks against the conference's top offense. And Michigan kind of just continued to pad their lead from there. So really a remarkable run. And their offense has been hot all year and continued that trend in this tournament. 48 runs in the 5 games, a lot of hits from the top guys. So really, really an incredible run of 5 games in four days when they didn't get much sleep, as the reporters as well.
They got hot at the right time, and we talked about this last week. I think they took 2 of 3 from Rutgers last week.
Yeah,
at that point, Rutgers, I think they were the number one team entering that weekend, at least in the Big Ten. And then they got hot. I mean, it happens. It happens a lot. You see in the NCAA men's basketball tournament or the conference tournaments, you see it all the time. So it's not a shocker, especially when you're able to put up runs like they have been. We talked about pitching potentially being their Achilles heel. That wasn't the case over the weekend. They played well. They're well-rounded. They won the games they needed to. It was an interesting tournament format, but they got the job done at the end of the day.
Yeah, I won't address that yet. I'll continue to talk about the performance before we get into that. But
Let's address it at some point.
There's been I was at the selection show yesterday and talked with Coach Bakich and a few of the players afterwards. And yeah, there's some parallels between this 2022 team and the 2019 team. I mean, obviously that 2019 team didn't need to win the Big Ten tournament to qualify for the NCAAs, but they needed to win three games to do so. And they did that, and they received the last at-large bid into the tournament. And obviously we know they went on all the way to the College World Series final before losing to Vanderbilt in the deciding game three. I don't know, something about this team in that ballpark. The Big Ten tournament wasn't played the last 2 years, but the last tournament that was played was in 2019 at that Charles Schwab Field in Omaha. Obviously, they played well there in the College World Series, and then we're back again here for the Big Ten tournament this year and won 4 of 5. So they found a nice little home away from home and have played well there, and they'll be looking to make another run through the NCAA regionals and super regionals to try and get back there.
So you two sort of tag team the coverage this past weekend remotely, of the games in Omaha. And as you kind of alluded to, it was kind of a disaster. This Michigan's first game started at 10:53 p.m. local time in Omaha.
No, 11. So, in local. Time.
So 11:53. Eastern. The next one was 10:39 Eastern. Rutgers in Indiana started a game at 11:53 local. So 12:53 a.m. Eastern.
Did not
time.
Finish until 4:14 a.m. What are you doing?
And I feel what this are what I you talked doing? About not getting, you know, not getting too riled up here. This is gonna be, but this is I feel like that game, that last one you just mentioned, like that determined when Michigan's game would start that next day, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Like they were
Michigan had to wake up at 6 a.m. just to see if they would have to play at 9 a.m. And then they went back to bed because they knew that they only had to play later. So, yeah, it's just an absolute crapshoot of a schedule. I don't know. Should we get into it yet or continue to talk about
it here? For all right, sure. Yeah. Like, I'm just joking about getting riled up or whatever. Like As Aaron kind of mentioned too, it's a double elimination tournament until it's not. Rutgers only lost one game in this thing, but they were eliminated.
The Michigan fans are going to want to hear this, but Rutgers, they deserved another game. I mean, I think they went, 4-0, 3-0 during the tournament up until that final round game against Michigan. And yes, I know you get like the advantage of the rest and it helps with your pitching because you're playing fewer games, but like you said, it's double elimination until it's not double elimination. To me, that just doesn't make sense. Either make it a single elimination tournament or play double elimination all the way through. So Rutgers never really got an opportunity to play it they essentially lost after losing their first game.
They were one of the last four teams out of the NCAA tournament too. So it was just a double whammy for the Scarlet Knights.
Yes, a double elimination in that sense. Yeah, it seems like they deserved a spot. I mean, that's a separate issue, I guess. But yeah, it's interesting. They just set it up that you play a double elimination format to set up a championship game. And that's how they decide to roll with it. There were weather problems on the first day of this thing, right? I mean, that's what kind of set up this possibility for all these problems. But still, I mean, if this was the contingency plan, there was a problem from the start.
Exactly. And you know what? Hats off to the Sun Belt Conference, who also was affected by weather, but they were smart and said, hey, you know what? Let's be wise and move it from double elimination to single elimination. And boom, look at that. Made things simpler. So kudos to them. I guess I was told yesterday by the Michigan SID that the Big Ten coaches discussed changing the format, but only two were on board for a single elimination. So, I appreciate those coaches, but not enough to make any changes. And yeah, there was, I mean, the and another issue is just the games. The games are all between 3 and 4 hours.
It's some like, went longer than four.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. Like, there's got to be something being done. The obviously a lot of runs scored, but like the reviews taking some. One of the games there was a 12-minute review, not in Michigan, but in one of the other games, 12-minute review. Like, this is just getting ridiculous. There needs to be a way to shorten these games. I'm all for 7-inning baseball games in college. Anything to get them done a little bit quicker because, yeah, it's getting a little bit out of hand.
Baseball is set up to be a double elimination, especially in tournament setting. I play high school baseball. I played plenty of travel and everything else. It makes sense because again, baseball is very much a pitching matchup situation. Right. And if you don't have your best pitchers out there, you can be beat on any day and you might be the superior team. So double elimination makes sense. But as you guys mentioned, that day one rainout where those first couple of games were, you know, shelved and they had to push everything back. At that point, when you know your timeline is shrunk and you think, you know, and it becomes apparent that you are going to be playing well into the night and some of these other games, you got to change the format. It doesn't work for anybody. I mean, these games where you mentioned the Indiana game that, you know, that went until 4 a.m, like no one was in the stadium watching it. There may be a couple hundred fans. Guess,
yeah.
And no one's watching a Big Ten network. So what are we doing here? You know, it's like, and look, and the players may not have complained. You know, they may have been fine with it, but you know, it's not right. It's not fair to them. It's not fair to the folks watching or those paying attention. It's not fair to the schools. It's not fair to Omaha, Nebraska that's hosting this thing because who's going to come out and watch a game at midnight on Saturday night?
Exactly.
So right. You could have played two games at the same time, right. On different fields. That would have been another,
right. But that's possibility. Not right. But the Big Ten doesn't want that because they want every game televised live on Big Ten networks so they can sell ads and make money and everything else. So it's a tricky situation. And from what I understand, the Big Ten had not only the Big Ten, but every conference has to have their automatic qualifier submitted to the NCAA by midnight Sunday night.
That was the other thing. The NCAA tournament field was getting announced, so they couldn't necessarily push things back, you know, days.
Which is fine. But then at that point, you got to call an audible and say this is going to be a double or a single elimination, or find it, like you said, find another field to play games on at the same time. You know, Big Ten Network be damned. I mean, it is what it is. You can throw the other game on. I don't know. It just whatever. But it's got to be done. So I don't know. The format was awful. Just the way it transpired, it was frustrating. As someone, and I have no, like, you know, I was casually following. I have no, you know, bias. Right? There's nothing hooking me into watching these games. And I was frustrated watching, staying up till like, you know, 3 a.m. watching this. I'm like, this isn't fair to the kids. This isn't fair to the staff. This isn't fair to anyone paying attention. Right. But the Big Ten Network, the Big Ten feels the need to finish this game by Sunday night because they have to, and they want to get every game on television. So it's, I don't know, they got to change something or do something different, you know, because what if, you know, in future years, what if the first 2 days get rained out? I mean, then what? You go to single elimination? Do you chop it? Do you chop teams out? Like, it's just weird.
Exactly. Find some indoor baseball stadiums to play in or do something.
In the middle of this all, you had a Michigan pitcher ejected for a substance on his glove that he was going to. I mean, it was very weird. I wasn't watching live, but you know, Willie Weiss, he faced one batter. He threw one pitch, right? He hit a batter with that pitch and then was ejected before he faced the next batter. I mean, it seemed like maybe he needed this stuff. I don't know. Like, what was that all about? Is this, and do you have any insight on how common this is as far as, you know, ejections or, you know, we kind of know about it. A lot of people maybe know about on the MLB side that they started checking for this stuff and there really haven't been ejections lately, but yeah, on the college side, I'm not really sure.
Yeah. That's a good question. I don't know how many suspensions there have been, but we did speak with Backage yesterday and asked him about it. He's like, look, yeah, this happens in baseball, but this should not happen in our program. So I assume it has happened. I don't know how many people have been caught. But yeah, watching the replay, it's like that looked pretty obvious that painfully he was doing obvious something there. Yeah, like you're in there's TV cameras on there. Like it's a big game. Like do you not think that people are going to be paying attention and watching you while you're on the mound? Like it's like, man, not a good look for the program at all. And he's been given a 4-game suspension, deservedly so, because you don't want that in the game. And it's kind of unfair to the opponents too. So definitely thought he deserved that suspension, and he will miss the first 3 games of the NCAA regional if Michigan even gets 3 games. So, yeah, it's quite the interesting situation. You don't see that every day. Just another thing to delay the game even more.
Yeah, and to your point, Ryan, you know, credit to Backage, he came out and after the game on Big Ten Network in his post-game interview, he owned it. You know, he said that, you know, we can't allow that to happen. Isn't representative of the program and everything else. So it's, you hope that's the only situation with them, you know, going forward. I know some folks, you know, want to throw out cheater or whatever, but it didn't really impact the game. Like you said, Ryan or Andrew, it only threw to one or two hitters, and you know, the game was a blow. I think they run ruled them Iowa that game anyway. So it didn't really matter at the end of the day. But certainly, yeah, not a good look for the team.
That could have been a huge momentum swing. Mm-hmm. I mean, at that point, the game was 4-1 in the fifth inning. Iowa gets their leadoff man on with a hit batter. And it's like, all right, they have to bring in their cold pitcher now who hasn't warmed up at all. They're fired up after the player was ejected. So I'm like, wow, like this should open the door for Iowa. And then all Michigan does is just respond in the next inning. It just pours it on the rest of the way for the 13-1 victory. So a nice response from Michigan, and they carried that momentum into the final later that day.
Yeah, they beat all the top teams during the regular season in this weekend here in Omaha to clinch the bid. So yes, they're in the NCAA tournament, the Louisville Regional. Louisville, another program. We talked about this, the softball team, just another school that Michigan plays and a lot of different things all the time. But they will open with Oregon on Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern time on ESPN Plus. Oregon, Louisville, and Southeast Missouri State.
That is correct.
That's the other team in that Louisville. Yeah. So Louisville's the host. Do they have seeds like they do for softball?
So Louisville's the number 12 overall seed.
Okay. So what's I guess early reaction to this draw?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting. So Michigan does have history against Louisville. Played them 3 times in March at Louisville. And it was, I mean, I didn't watch any of the games, but I saw some highlights. They basically played in a snowstorm, at least one of the games. But Michigan lost 5-3 and 13-1 and then won 16-7. So a little bit of success there, but obviously 2 losses as well. Louisville finished first in the Atlantic Conference in the ACC. So a very good team. ACC is a very strong conference historically for baseball. But they lost both their first 2 games in the conference tournament too. So they're 10th in ERA. So Michigan could be able to put some runs up against them if they face them at some point. And then Oregon, if we thought there were some long games in the Big Ten tournament, there could be this Friday night opener could be a lot long game too, because they can put up some runs. Led the league with a .306 batting average. Number 2 in runs scored, number 3 in home runs, and obviously, as we know, Michigan can definitely score some runs as well. 35-23 for the Ducks, finished 4th in a very tough Pac-12 conference, and they also lost both of their first 2 games in the conference tournament. So if you believe in momentum and carrying hot streaks into the tournament, obviously Michigan is the hottest Power 5 team heading into this regional, and we'll see if they can keep it going.
That Pac-12 tournament had some just absolutely crazy games, but I don't believe Oregon was a part of them. I think it was.
I know that UCLA and was it Stanford?
Oregon State.
I think Oregon State was at
the 20. It was, they both were in the 20s. One team scored.
Yeah, it was 22-12 heading in the ninth inning, and then some team scores 9 runs to tie it, and ended up being a 25-22 final. Just like some of the stores in college baseball this year, have just been incredible, man. It sounds like pitching's down everywhere. But it's I couldn't even imagine covering a game like that.
So yeah, that's the draw for Michigan. They'll start this weekend and try to recapture some of that magic that they found in 2019. We said we had some quick updates on some other sports, and that's really what it is. It's pretty quick. The NBA draft deadline, while the NCAA's deadline for players to withdraw from the NBA draft is quickly approaching. It's Wednesday, tomorrow, June 1st at 11:59 p.m. Eastern time. So they have all day tomorrow, and that group includes Musa Diabate and Caleb Houston of Michigan, 2 freshmen who entered the draft, and you're in it until you're not. So as far as we know, they're still in the draft. Try to reach out to their agents to try to get a better feel for when that announcement is coming. As far as their final decision, neither are big social media guys, especially Houston. So we'll see. I guess my inkling right now is that they're both going to stay in the draft, but we'll find out here in the next day or so.
You never know. And we got some fireworks today. Turquavion Smith, I just saw this, actually ESPN was reporting, potential first round pick from NC State is withdrawing and going back to college. He said he wants to play in school for 1 more year. So you never know.
Yeah. Well, again, and it's obviously huge for Michigan to what they end up deciding for their roster. So we'll see. On the women's side, Emily Kaiser is coming back for a fifth year, taking advantage of that COVID year a couple of years ago. You know, that's huge for Michigan, that, you know, a team that loses so much, you know, to get a returning starter back is big. Not shocked by that decision. You kind of just saw the way, you know, I did do a story on her during the year and asked her that if she was planning to take advantage. And she said, you know, it would be nice to play again. You know, I didn't play so much my first couple of years. And just the way, you know, it was very clear, like Danielle Rausch was gone, you know, in her post game press conferences after the tournament, and then did go take a, you know, job on a staff somewhere else. And, you know, Naz Hillman going to the WNBA, and there wasn't, you know, any talk really about Amy Dilk coming back, But Kaiser, it was just a little different. It was kind of quiet. It wasn't very clear that she was not coming back, and now she's made it official that she is. So, that's a big lift again for a Michigan team that loses so much.
Actually, you know what? That actually reminds me, it was not discussed pre-pod, but some more roster notes for another team. Michigan softball lost two of their key players to the transfer portal last week. I mean, Alex Storaco, a pitcher who's been dominant since she stepped foot in Ann Arbor, will look to play her fifth year elsewhere. Just an absolute and one of their two aces from the last few years. She's pursuing a graduate transfer as well as catcher Hannah Carson, who is one of their top hitters this year, an all Big Ten conference honoree. Going to play her fifth year elsewhere too. So two huge losses for the Michigan softball program.
Yeah. What, I mean, any insight on that, those are huge losses. I mean, you know, again, they had full careers at Michigan in a way. But they're continuing to play. They're playing another season, just not at Michigan. I mean, never know, I guess, scholarship deal or didn't have the spot for them or what, but
yeah, I mean, I would think that they would find a way to keep them on scholarship if possible, but it could be for a degree elsewhere too, or
right,
just,
right.
So it's, you just never know. And I know Michigan signed two freshman pitchers this past year, who are freshmen this year and got a little bit of time in the circle and pitched pretty well. So maybe the reins are being handed over to them a little bit. But yeah, I mean, Megan Bobian has just played her fifth year, so she's graduating. And then Storaco is now gone too. So that's two huge losses. So we'll see if Michigan does in the meantime. But yeah, no, I mean, it's tough to say why they're leaving, and they didn't announce it, but it is some tough pills to swallow for the Michigan softball program.
And then lastly, a hockey update, Mel Pearson, is what's the deal with him as far as Michigan hockey is concerned?
It's May 31st, which means, 31 days after his contract expired, and it still hasn't signed a new one. So can't get into too much right now, but I will say this thing could be, it might continue on a little bit longer before any resolution happens. So we'll try and have an update by next pod and in a story on MLive.com here soon. But yeah, stay tuned, and there could be some more news coming on this front here pretty shortly.
Ryan, I asked you this before we started recording. Has there been any like recruiting fallout? I know with the coach not under a contract, I have to think recruits are maybe second guessing coming here. I don't know what the situation.
Not at this point. So they signed their recruiting class in the wintertime, and I think everyone's still on board. They just added a top player too to their recruiting class. So, and it seems like all their future guys are still committed at this point, to my knowledge. So far there hasn't been any fallout on that front. But again, you just never know. I mean, it could happen quick if anything does happen as far as Mel Pearson's status changes here in the next couple of days or weeks.
We're trending towards like previewing actual hockey games for the season and still unsure.
It's just unheard of. I mean, I don't know of any other situation where a similar situation to this anywhere at this point. So we'll see what happens, but it is definitely an interesting saga that has transpired here for Michigan hockey.
And just to be clear, he is still on the job. He's still the head coach. He just not under contract, which means he can be hired somewhere else. He can leave to go somewhere else. He's just not under contract to the University of Michigan, correct?
That is correct. Yeah, he's still been. I mean, if you follow on Twitter, he's been at a lot of Michigan sporting events. He's been at the rink a lot. So yeah, he's still operating as the head coach, but does not have a contract. I will say I did FOIA for the two assistant coaches contracts, Bill McCult and Brandon Arado, and they're still under contract. They are just entered year two of 3-year deals that they signed for last year. So yeah, they do have two coaches under contract, just not their head coach.
Well, stay tuned for coverage of that, the baseball team, the NBA draft decisions, and everything related to Wolverines athletics on MLive.com/Wolverines. Thank you for listening.